Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Happy Friday. Dawn Stenslin, Dan Borowski's here. What's Greg Stocker still here? He's supposed to be in a beauty photo shoot. But in the house, we are honored to have the executive director of Families Behind the Badge Children's Foundation, as well as somebody that I go way back with. Well, both of you I've known for many years, but Maureen Faulkner in the house. And of course, really an iconic figure here in Philadelphia. We've known Maureen, who's been in the headlines, who has been in our hearts for so many years throughout the good, the bad, the ugly, the tragic, and sometimes the heartwarming. So want to bring you in, honored to have you both here this morning and get a little behind the headlines, beyond the headlines, if you will. So first, Mark and Maureen, I don't know who wants to start, but when you think about 38 years, when you started this way back in the day, think about, did you imagine that 38 years later, you would still be fundraising, you would still be running a nonprofit that reaches out in particular to grieving widows, grieving children, supporting those critically injured who protect and serve?
No, absolutely not. Just never dreamed of it. But the motivation was for me, was Maureen and watching Maureen and Danny Faulkner's friends on the force, his squad, watching them how they had to deal with Danny's murder. And that's when I realized what a difficult job it was to do and that they needed our support. So it's very easy to stick with it. It's very easy to keep working hard at it. It's a mission that so many people have joined and appreciate. And it's all because of Maureen's strength over all of these years for Danny's name, fighting for Danny's name.
And Maureen Faulkner, just in case there's somebody new, I doubt it, but, you know, just to do the backdrop of Daniel Faulkner, Officer Daniel Faulkner, who was essentially executed on the job. Many have said it was a setup. Convicted, still in prison, a guy who's now known as Mumia Abu-Jamal, who that wasn't his name at the time. He's changed his name and received a lot of attention, and there's a lot of fake news surrounding that whole situation. But, you know, Maureen, I think one of the times over the years that we spoke was right around the time, I believe it was Governor Corbett, as I recall, Republican, full disclosure, mm-hmm. You met with him because, in essence, as a widow, I mean, grieving, a young widow, standing up for Danny, his justice, you had fought. But at some point, there was an opportunity where you were basically promised that this whole appeals process that dragged you and the Faulkner family basically back to that point of having to relive his execution, his shooting and killing on the job with a uniformed police officer. And I just want to take people back to that moment in history, if I could, Maureen Faulkner, to talk about what you went through. And even when you were basically promised that if you signed off on kind of this plea deal, that you'd never have to deal with the fact of revisiting your husband Danny's murder.
That's true. And what happened was, I mean, in the state of Pennsylvania, the reality is no one is going to be put to death. And it was years and years and years we waited. And then we were approached and told that if Jamal ever got put in general population, he would be put in a maximum security prison. There would be absolutely no more appeals. He would rot in prison until the day he dies. And that's what I was told by the governor. I was told by all of the everyone in the
judicial
prison,
system,
the prison system, everyone. And one of the most shocking times I had was when I left Philadelphia and flew back to California, and I saw Jamal in the arms of his wife. I thought I was seeing things. I just screamed and cried. I mean, they had conjugal rights. There was nothing told to me that they were going to have conjugal rights. Nothing about that. So I flew back and spoke with the governor, and that is when he said he made all prisons in Pennsylvania maximum security prisons, because Mumia at the time was in and still is in Mahé prison, and it's a soft prison. I mean, they have flowers, they get law library, they get out to work out, and there is no such thing as even with life without possibility of parole or the death penalty. They still get out of prison, you know, every day. They get 4 to 5 hours a day out of prison in the state of Pennsylvania. I don't know if people know that, but it's true.
Yeah, and so in that case, I just wanted to bring that forth to talk about this, because it's not something that where your 25-year-old husband at the time was, you know, murdered. It was right before Christmas, right? December 9th, 1981. He's gunned down. And his killer is convicted in a court, even though it was a family member. If you go through those old files, which I've reported on for many years, who even testified against what was Wesley Cook was his name at the time, later changed his name and became like a cause celeb and all of that. But I want to bring that forth to the pain and anguish and sometimes the feeling that, you know, the convicted killers see and the offenders, the perpetrators, sometimes it feels like they get more rights than the actual victims and their families. I mean, that's something you've talked about.
Yes, and I think the families really need to keep note that wherever their murders are in the state of Pennsylvania, you keep a check on what prison they are in and the rights and that they are getting, why they are in prison. Because so many people, well, they're on death row, they only get 1 hour a day. No, not true. They get more than 1 hour a day out. They get to educate. They get to get their their law degrees. They get to get their master's degrees. They get a lot, and this is what the victims do not realize. So we need to stay astute on knowing what is going on with the people that murdered our loved ones.
And it's something that, you know, when I look at this, that's why the Families Behind the Badge Children's Foundation providing these immediate grants, emotional support to the families, not just the widow or the spouse, but as well the children, family members, but the emotional support and of fallen and critically injured first responders. And so just want to point this out, that your generosity. If you can't ride, I'm not riding. I'll be there on Sunday. I will go. I'll be there. You'll see me. I can't ride this year, and we're out of town on Saturday. I'm just coming back early. But I will just tell you that whatever that looks like, if you can show up either for the launch of the bike ride early in the morning, later in the day down the shore, or whether you can go online and you can go to either, as Greg said, gregstockersucks.com. You can go to Families Behind the Badge Children's Foundation. It's fbbcf.org, and you'll see where you can just even donate. And every dollar, just even though it's, you know, it is a write-off because it's 501c3 nonprofit, also that every dollar, every donation to show how many people support, you're just saying, hey, Maureen Faulkner, you know, hey, Stephanie Mack, you know, over the years, I think of Judy Cassidy, who I got to know, whose husband Chuck was, you know, at the you know, just stopping in a shop and was gunned down. All of these individuals that we've gotten to know over the years, and you may remember them as you're watching on YouTube, or maybe you're listening here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. You remember, oh yeah, remember Andy Chan. You think of somebody injured on the job. All of this is to support them, not just monetarily, but I'm talking about just showing, hey, we love you guys. We support you. What has that support meant to you and your family, Maureen?
Oh, it's been tremendous. It really has. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, they have been wonderful to me. They've supported me in so many different ways. They stood beside me when I needed help, and they have really given me the warmth and the caring I needed when I was quite desperate. And I wanted to ask you a question.
Yes.
How about if you dunk me?
Are you in the dunk machine?
I'm going to let you dunk me, and we'll raise a little money. How about that?
All right, let's do it.
Okay.
So,
come out.
So that'll be afterwards. You
all
know?
Right.
I would say, you know, Mark, and that's a piece of it that we don't talk enough about, is that the celebration after the ride is so much fun, because there's this, obviously, a relief after the bike ride, but also just to celebrate, and it's a nice party that people could come to, right?
Yeah, virtually everybody at the party has some connection to the first responder world. So you're in the middle of this group of like-minded people who many have just ridden a bike 65 miles and believe in this cause. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful environment that we look forward to every year. It's just so much fun to come and be a part of it. And anybody can come in. We ask for a donation at the gate, but then the beer's flowing and Wawa's catering it. And you'll get to see the 1210 team. You'll get to see Maureen Faulkner. What a great day. So yeah. Come on out. If it's going to be a nice day, we're going to hold that rain off till late afternoon. Come on down to Atlantic City and come to the party.
Yes. Hey, Mark, what color is that water going to be in that tank top?
It was clean last year, yeah. Unlike a couple of years ago where my eyes were on fire for about a month.
Didn't he only do it 1 year, I think?
Yeah,
like
he's
a hoot.
Yeah, he still gives me a hard time, by the way.
And, you know, the other piece of it is, you know, we talked about victims' rights. I do think there's a lot of good that comes out of coming together. You know, in Montgomery County, you know, kudos to, for example, Kevin Steele. I think their Wheels of Justice group where they ride, I think they're the number one team with, what, 140 grand worth of donations, if I'm not mistaken.
And counting, and it'll be the 12th or 13th year that they've been the number one team. So thanks so much to Wheels of Justice. Kevin Steele is just fantastic.
And how much has, this is my snarky, you know, self, but how much has the Larry Krasner team? Is there a Krasner team?
Yeah, I don't think they have a team.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not being facetious here. I wish that our Philadelphia DA Larry Krasner would actually join in, because I actually think that what happens is, through the conversations, there's a lot of good that comes between all of these individuals coming together as human beings. Yeah, you leave your professional self, but to understand everybody's journey in all seriousness is a helpful thing, no matter what your job. Media, there are a lot of people in media who go. That's important. But whether you're on the prosecutor side, the defense attorney side, the law enforcement side, state, local, etc., I wish DA Larry Krasner, who I think is a fit guy, I wish the district attorney's office would join in. Because if you did, you would grow as people, as professionals. I think that's important.
We had a lot of support in the past from the DA's office in Philadelphia, but not since Krasner's been in. And I got to tell you, I'm pretty good that he's not involved, quite frankly.
Yeah.
We can bring him some ropes and rocks, and he can go in the dunk tank.
Yeah, that get in the dunk tank. Now we're talking here. Boy, it'll be a long line.
I know. You probably raise $1 million just on that one. But if we want to be humble about it, I would say I wish their office. I think that's the kind of thing we need to open up that conversation and bring forth change and understanding. Because we've been lectured a whole lot, especially during the Defund the Police movement. We've been lectured about, you know, policing and how policing has to change. And you know what? Nobody is more welcome to that than cops saying, yeah, I'll wear a body cam. Yeah, I'll do this. I'll do that. And right. And changing culture. Maybe the other side needs to have an openness. Right. And humility. I think that would be part of it. That's just my little take. Mark and Maureen, we'll see. I know Dan's given us, Dan's going to start doing a dance if I don't wrap up.
Okay.
We will see you on Sunday.
See you on Sunday, everyone.
Thanks, Maureen. Mark, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks a million.
Bye.
Families Behind the Badge Children's Foundation, FBBCF.org or GregStockerSucks.com. Please do it, and I will see you there.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.
So thank you to Maureen, to Mark. We hope you come out. Like I say, just even come out spontaneously. If you're down the shore already, just stop by because it'll be in Atlantic City and the party goes in the afternoon. Whatever that looks like, come on by or just go to the website and donate. It's Families Behind the Badge Children's Foundation, FBBCF.org, GregStockerSucks.com. He doesn't really see. Here's the thing, Kev Poles, if you're listening, it should be Greg Stocker Rocks. That should be the site, GregStockerRocks.com. I know I always have to be, the other way. That's why I'm being sincere when I say Krasner should just, show some humility, join in, and let's just try to have the conversation. Or we could have a Krasner lookalike in the dunk tank.
Oh. Yeah.
Sunday.
I mean,
that'd
you would raise
funny.
A ton of money with
my
Krasner
gosh.
In a dunk tank. You kidding me?
Can you imagine?
Come on, Lair.
Come on.
For a good cause.
The other Lair. So
yes, the other
we have
layer.
A, I know the other,
the lesser layer.
Are we done with talking about the Epstein thing, Dan Borowski? Could we be done?
I'm not.
God.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm so sick of it.
I know. Well, you've also spent 4 hours talking about it. So.
Oh my, I can't take it. Here's the thing. Remember the daddy comment from the NATO chief and then the reporter who said, did you call him daddy? So I have to do it in my Peppa Pig voice. Like, Daddy is not happy. So whatever that looks like, I think all of the above can be true at once. Trump, are we sick of celebrating all of his incredible accomplishments? By the way, he's signing into law today, if he hasn't done so already, because the House approved the so-called rescissions bill, which means they're just doing DOGE. Okay, so he's signing DOGE. He's signing something into law that says we believe in the Department of Government Efficiency, which that department obviously continues. And we're DOGEing items such as different foreign aids, such as a corporation that funds media. We don't need NPR in the traditional sense anymore. Back in the day, it was the beginning of the television days. So the 1960s, we have streaming. We have all different forms of media. And so, look, I don't mind revisiting that and saying, should government give grants to different media that speaks to different communities? Okay, sure. Apply for the grant. But I think that it should not be taken for granted or it should not be automatic. I think that when you think about a grant, when you apply for that, it's not an easy process, but it's a way to, in essence, vet an organization, make sure they are who they say they are, and they ask the question, how many, for example, you're a nonprofit and you're looking for a grant, okay, or you're a for-profit and you're looking for a grant, let's look at your company, and let's look at, you have to be accountable for what you say that grant is going to do. You want to work with kids in the community? You want to give people who aren't given a voice actually help them have a voice, shine a spotlight? Okay, you got to prove it. You got to write that up in the grant. So that doesn't take away from the fact that we still have grants for certain media entities or documentaries. We absolutely do. That's all available. But to give all of these, billions of dollars over the year for something that's taken for granted, for something that it has become, unfortunately, a mouthpiece for very liberal policies, no, I'm not good with my tax dollars going there. I would say the same for, let's just think about this, your tax dollars at work. Think about this for a moment. Think about going out to the West Norton market that we've seen all of the media focus. It's made national news. It's made international news. Why? Because you had all these people out in the community and they're saying they're very upset. They're very upset with these ICE people. Remember that story that aired and they interviewed different women who rushed to the scene where you had federal law enforcement in clearly a well-planned arrest situation where they go and they arrest 14 individuals or they take them into custody. And these individuals, by all accounts, even the woman who runs the market admits that they knew they were here illegally, have not filed the proper types of paperwork, but they were trying to get some of them red cards. So they, and you, do you know when they were trying to get the red cards? After federal officials through immigration showed up at the market. Now, how did they know they were there? I'm going to tell you, because somebody called. Because somebody called and said something. So they investigate, they go there, they ask the manager, are these individuals here legally, illegally? Do they have the proper, you know, legal paperwork to be in this country, to be here? No, she admitted they didn't. But okay, now we're going to try to get them something. So in other words, they didn't even try to get a red card until, this is according to the manager, until somebody recently visited. So I'm going to ask you this. What did they think was going to happen? In other words, they basically were giving them a warning because this administration has clearly said, you want amnesty? You know what the amnesty program? There is an amnesty program, by the way. We talked about amnesty earlier on Kale and Company. Do you know what the amnesty program is? It's the Trump version of amnesty. It's this app. So they changed up the Biden app that was illegal. And if you want to leave the country, you can leave. They're going to help pay for your trip to help you leave and legally leave and go back to your country or even the border, over the border. And then the amnesty given to you is that nobody's going to hold it against you that you were here illegally. That's the little Trump amnesty that was already given. So whether you call it amnesty or grace, you can do that. And so essentially what I infer from this whole situation that nobody's reporting on is that our little local market in Montgomery County, they were giving them a heads up to say, okay, you're admitting to us that you're all here illegally. You haven't even filed paperwork for the red card. Maybe you're scrambling now. Go ahead and go and leave legally. We'll help you do that because then no harm, no foul. And then if you want to apply, you can stand in line with all of the others who've been standing in line already to legally come here and legally become a citizen of the United States of America. I got to take a quick break. Thanks for being here at Dawn Stensland on X, 855-839-1210 if you want to call in. Be right back. So
life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get to it. We have our friend Val from Delco, who I first, you know, I don't know how long we've known each other, but during Val, just to remind you, is the one who was promoting people in Delaware County to exercise your legal rights to just stay in line, stand in line. And that really became a mantra for all of us to stand in line. You stay in line. That's your right. Don't leave the line. And remember, Val was, I mean, here you are. You're a mom. You are a respectable citizen. They arrested you. They dragged you out of there. It was crazy. But you were one of the first, and even Trump repeated that line with Zioli on election night was Trump said, stand in line. But that was something that I think you started it, Val. I'm not even sure if you started it or maybe you had heard some.
Hi,
John. Hi. Hi. Sorry, I'm rambling. It's a crazy Friday. I know it's a crazy Friday for you. How are you?
Good. Good. Long time no talk.
I know.
So I think I was the one who started it. People were standing in line to vote early by mail. at the government center in Media, and, you know, the employees were telling them, if you don't have a pressing reason to vote, you shouldn't be in this line, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, I said, no, no, you stay in line. Please stay in line and vote. And they arrested me, as you know. And later that day, you know, Lara Trump, she was great. She repeated that line, stay in line and vote. You know, she put it all over X.
Yeah.
President Trump repeated it, Michael Whatley. So, you know, I do think some good came of it, and people did stay in line. So anyway, but you want to talk about?
Yeah, I want to get to the next thing,
Governor Shapiro.
Yes. So Val,
I'm going to have to jump off of here. But
yeah, I know you've had furniture delivery. So Val Bianconello, you were reposting something that was being put out there by especially a lot of women and Senate. You know, the GOP with Senate women, really critical of Josh Shapiro. I love Stacey Garrity, our treasurer. I've been a fan of hers, a fangirl for a long time. Take us through it, if you will.
Stacey's terrific.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Stacey is terrific. You know, will she run for governor? I don't know. But obviously, you know, Josh Shapiro is, he's not happy about it. So, but did you read what he said to Senator Phillips Hill when he was AG? He said to her, you know, in the courtroom, don't use that tone with me.
Yeah.
And would he say that to Senator Scott Martin? I think not.
No.
You know, I thought that was very condescending, and I'm not surprised. I do think Josh is very condescending, but you know, who is he? Who says that to a senator? So I didn't like it at all. And I said he wouldn't say that to a man.
Right.
I don't believe he would say that to a man, you know, but he says that to women. So, you know, that just shows us who he is. And, you know, he obviously with the scandal in his office, you know, he didn't speak up for women. He says one thing and he does another. So, you know, but women continue to vote for him. And I just can't figure it out.
Well, and that's just it. And this was released by its PA Senate Republican campaign. It's PA/SRCC.
SRCC, yes.
So that's you know, getting a lot of reaction. The headline is Josh Shapiro belittles female lawmakers. And, you know, these different, you know, women speaking about, you know, when they say that he did not like the tone of my line of questioning during a Senate public hearing, and then you put it together like you just said with the scandal that he wasn't responsible, he wasn't the accused person, but the fact that he didn't immediately say absolutely not and out it and extract it from his office. And so I think,
right,
correct me if I'm wrong, but that's what I think all these different women who've worked with him or you know in on the cat
Josh know, does not stand up for women. I mean, that much is clear. He does not stand up for women. And like I said, they continue to vote for him and support him. But, you know, I can't figure it out. If he can talk like that to Senator Hill, but not say something like that to Senator Scott Martin, who was a wrestler in college, you know, Josh would never say that to Scott. You know, that's just inappropriate and it's not right. And it just shows us who he is. He's very condescending to women. And he doesn't care. He does not care. He thinks he's above that. You know, he doesn't need to apologize to women or be respectful to women. And I think it's terrible. And I think it's terrible that women in Pennsylvania continue to vote for him.
And so is it your feeling that he takes women voters for granted?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, he does.
Why do you like Stacey Garrity?
Oh, gosh, I love Stacey. I always say she's the hardest working Republican in Pennsylvania. You know, why I personally like her, she will show up last minute, just like you did for me, Dawn. Thank you, at the office opening. But she will show up last minute, you know, to help us out, give a speech. She's just so enthusiastic. She's so intelligent. You know, like I said, she shows up. And it's all across the state. You know, any of the 67 counties. I'm sure she's been to all of them multiple times. Mm-hmm. Not everybody does that, Dawn. Not everybody does that. And, you know, not only does she work hard, but she's a fantastic treasurer, returning people's, you know, lost mm-hmm. money. I know she's done so much with that. And that's gotten her name out there, too. But I think she would be a great governor. She hasn't announced. Mm-hmm. I hope she does.
Yeah.
You know, Dan Muser, I really like Dan Muser, Congressman Muser. Mm-hmm. He was talking about running.
But he's officially stepped away from it, right?
He has, yeah. Yes, yes. And, you know, I was surprised mm-hmm. to hear that. I thought he would run. But, you know, so I'm hoping it's Stacey. Mm-hmm. I know who I don't want. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I know who I don't want to run. And, you know, I, as you know, I'm an activist. I yep. have a lot of groups in Delaware County and across the Commonwealth. So, you know, I like to mobilize these folks to get the vote out and so forth. But, you know, I think it would be easy if it was a Stacey. However, you know, like I said, if it's maybe the other person talking about running, I'm not a Mastriano fan. I just, you know, it would be very difficult for me to mobilize the okay. vote here in the Southeast for a Doug. It would be. So, you know, I'm hoping it is Stacey. I yeah. hope she does run.
She told me I've tried to get her to announce, and she said she's 90%. I like that. I also like the fact that, like Mastriano, but she... Mastriano was never really known as the angel of the desert. I mean, I think if you know mm-hmm. what I mean, like you're, I mean, mm-hmm. if you look at her Wikipedia for a conservative woman, right? You even look at her media, mm-hmm. they can't say anything bad about the woman. That says a lot.
Yeah.
She got more, right. I think she got more votes or equal votes to Trump in Pennsylvania.
She did. She actually, in fact, got more.
So
she, you know, is what we call a vote getter.
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone likes Stacey. There's nothing to not like about Stacey.
Yeah.
You know, let's put it that way. There are no skeletons in the closet that I ever heard of. That's yeah. for sure. You know, she's a hard worker. She's a great, she's a fine lady, you know, served in the military. You know, and she's a great Republican, but she works for all Pennsylvanians. Yeah. She really does.
Yeah.
You know, and I know she'll work hard on the campaign trail, and midterms are critical. Midterms are critical.
Yeah, and to your
for Republicans in Pennsylvania, we cannot lose the Senate. We're holding the Senate right now. We cannot lose the Senate in 26 in PA. There goes our gun rights.
Yeah, among other
if we
things.
Do.
Well, Val,
among other things,
Val Biancanello, thank you so much for being here. I hope to see you soon. Yeah, you know, you bring up a good point that with midterms, maybe somebody like Stacey, if she were willing to run, if she announces, maybe she energizes people as far as a different
absolutely.
Group of people, right? That brings out voters, mm-hmm. excites people, in other words.
Right. And listen, there could be someone else who announces, you know, there's talk. So it's still a little bit early. You know, other people could jump into this race.
Like who?
So,
who are
you know, we'll wait and see. Oh,
give me the gossip.
Know.
Come on. I know. I'm like, Dan, who's she talking about?
I really, you know, people talk, but I couldn't say anything because, you know, they may not. You know, people talk about it, that's all. But, you know, it's early, like I said, and someone else could jump into this race or two people. You just don't know. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. I don't want a repeat of 2022
right.
with all of those candidates, the long list of candidates running.
That's right.
It didn't help anyone, and it certainly didn't help the party. So, you know, it'd be nice. You know, but like I said, I support Stacey. I hope she does run. And you know, I think she could beat Josh Shapiro.
Mm-hmm.
So, and she'll show him what women can do and what we're made of. So.
That's right. Val, thank you so much. A big hug to you. I know you're very busy right now. So thank you, Val.
Yeah, it was great to jump on.
Thank you. Thanks so much. Val Bianconello, Delco. If you remember the, and we showed the video at the time. If you remember this, it was so nutty. But this is, by the way, speaking of, would they have done that to a man in Delco? I mean, they just dragged her out of there. They actually cuffed her and dragged her out of a polling place, if you can imagine. And all she was doing was saying, telling people, hey, you have the right. You can stand in line. You don't have to, because they were trying to encourage people. Remember this? Of course you do. And she had to bring up that horrible midterm. I'll never forget that. I just felt like I had this, like, oh, this sick feeling for days in the bottom of my stomach. I'll never forget that. So we'll have to never repeat that. And that's just it. I mean, we have to have an event for Stacey Garrity. Here's the thing with Stacey. She did not drop out because just look at Trump. Let's just say everybody in the country said, oh, we love Donald Trump. And he, you know, but he doesn't have a chance, right, against Hillary. He doesn't have a chance. The polls said he was going to lose. Everybody said he was going to lose. Then he wins. Remember this? And then even the next time around, and then they said, oh, no, he's DOA. He is out. He'll never be elected to anything in his whole life. He is gone. He's out of the game. What did he do? Fight, fight, fight. So we need somebody in Pennsylvania with that spirit. And I believe that individual is, you know, one of Pennsylvania's favorite redheads who happens to be dubbed the Angel of the Desert for her work as a combat veteran. So we'll talk about all of it. Stacey Garrity, let me know what you think. 855-839-1210. Even Shapiro endorsed her, remember, last time around. And maybe everybody will say she doesn't have a shot, but she is a fighter. She's proven that. She's very well liked. So let me have your thoughts. 855-839-1210. You can either call or talk to us on the YouTube chat. But I got to talk to you about my friends from Piazza Auto Group. They're awesome. They're five Honda dealerships, five. Honda, you know what Honda has done? They're winners. They have won more than 2025 Kelley Blue Book Consumer Choice Awards, more than any other brand, and that includes best overall brand, most trusted brand, best value brand. So maybe you're looking at the Accord, the CRV, or the Pilot. You are choosing a vehicle backed by real drivers, just like you and me. So come experience the award-winning excellence at Piazza Honda in Philadelphia, Langhorne, Pottstown, Reading, or Springfield. If you go to Philadelphia, if you see Tony, he's my buddy, he's awesome. But make sure you got to meet Awesome Ross, the boss. Please call him that because he hates it. Quite frankly, he's like, please don't say that. So now you have to. Awesome Ross, the boss. Online, piazzahonda.com. For all the special offers, Tone Dawn sent you. A lot of reaction to everything that has been going on today. Would love to hear from you. 855-839-1210. There's so much going on with Trump. I will never get tired of celebrating Donald J. Trump. Not ever. I still believe that he is the greatest president of the United States of America, the greatest. When you combine everything that he's fought for, everything he has endured, and as well, he has changed so much culture. You think about the DOGE culture, for example, Department of Government Efficiency, that nobody ever really, I don't know, didn't anybody think that we should have a Department of Government, a true government that goes through and just looks at, you know, maybe what we can cut from the budget? Doesn't that seem like common sense? Everything that he does, after he does, you go, oh, yeah, that makes sense. And even now with the tariffs, and we played for you earlier this week, the biggity big CEO, and now I'm forgetting his name, so forgive me. I think it's Home Depot. And he went on some of these different shows like CNBC and whatnot and just said, hey, I've been in business a long time. I thought the tariffs would not work. I was wrong. Want to just set the record straight. And this is incredible. The money that's being raked in. And we now see the financial world saying that. By the way, Trump just put out on one of his sites, he's speaking out a lot lately about the Wall Street Journal. We've talked a lot about that this morning, but as well about lowering the rate. And for those of you calling him out to say, stop talking on social media and just fire Jerome Powell, he really, it's a very difficult thing to fire him unless you fire him for something like the fact that he's a criminal. That's not an easy pathway. And so that's why he's doing what he's doing. He's doing everything that's the easiest path to try to get Powell to play ball. And at the end of the day, it's not for Trump personally. It's not for his ego or anything of that nature. It's because of what it's costing all of us. Imagine, okay, here's an analogy. Right now, I have a credit card. I put some medical bills on there for my son, okay? And I'm paying nearly 30%. Imagine if somebody in my circle, if I could say, yo, can you please just lower those rates? And I go from basically paying what's the equivalent of a car payment to, you know, much lower and saving so much so that I can pay other bills or go out and shop, and that spurs the economy. Think about it in your own life. If somebody could just wave a wand and lower your whatever rate you're paying on a credit card, a loan, etc., imagine the difference it would make in your life. Now multiply that by, you know, billions of dollars and think about what it saves daily, what it saves our country. And it's incredible. And what does that do? It means investment. It means jobs. It means, oh, I'm going to shop. Oh, I'm going to buy those instead of only buying windows on the front of the house or to replace the ones that are really bad. I'm going to buy all the windows. What does that do? It puts people to work. It just spurs the economy. I know I'm simplifying here. So that's what Trump is using, every easy tool that he can, meaning social media, speaking out. Because why? It's easy. It's the easiest pathway. He doesn't have to go through legislation. He doesn't have to go through the House of Representatives or the Senate or anything else. He has a direct pipeline to the people. And so what we all need to do is get the memo, which means pressure Powell. Go on social media and pressure him and tag him, put his name, say his name everywhere, and say, and almost like subliminal, Powell, lower the rates. Do it. Powell, do it. Do it to you satisfied.
Can I play a little bit of audio from James Fishback, who was on Fox Business?
You do.
What's that? Yeah?
You go, I meant.
Well, it's not bending the will to the White House. It's bending the will to the economic facts and realities of the ground. Here's the truth, Charles. The New York Federal Reserve has its own estimate of what they call the natural rate of interest. That's the interest rate you know from the Fed that neither slows down nor speeds up the economy. Their model says that the Fed's rate right now should be 3.3%. Where is Jerome Powell keeping it? 4.3%, a full percentage point above where rates actually should be. So President Trump, once again, is absolutely right. They need to cut by a full point. That should likely take place over the course of a couple meetings later this year. Mm-hmm. But that's what needs to happen. And so President Trump has the right instincts here in calling for the Fed to loosen policy, to recalibrate it, and to align it with the actual facts on the ground.
There it is. So I'm telling you, just wherever you are today, just tag Jerome Powell, tag him, make a note. You don't have to be mean or anything of that nature. Just say, please do this. If that's your, whatever your way is, that's his way. I'm just saying, whatever your way is, please do this. This would help my life. I'm telling you, there's an impact on it. There is an impact, and there's no reason for him not to do it. In fact, they've said that they expect to lower rates three times, not once, not twice, but three times by the end of the year. So why not just go for it? 855-839-1210. Thanks for being here. It is Friday. We'll have an update on some of the dogs and kitty cats and the animals who are from the flood ravaged real tragedy area in Texas with all those deadly floods. So we'll talk to our friend Sarah Smith from the Brandywine Valley SPCA. Talk to her. We'll check in. Breaking news, developing news, all the headlines right around the corner. Don't go anywhere.
Don Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.